just being overwhelmed and her say, yes, I want Jesus. You could cry, right? It's just an overwhelming, and look at me, guys. You don't have to be an old person like Rachel or me to lead someone to the Lord. Last week at our service, we're doing a dodgeball tournament tomorrow night at our church. So I've been pushing my students to bring friends, to bring their lost friends to church, and to put a team together and to bring them to have a, you know, be a part. But kids that aren't involved in another church, students that aren't involved anywhere, bring them to church. So last Wednesday night, I challenged them about the gospel. What is the gospel? Have you received the good news of Jesus? And are you willing to tell people about Jesus? Are you willing to share your faith? Can you share your faith? Guys, you can do it at your age. You can walk someone through the plan of salvation. You understand that, right, Lily? You can do that, right? But you got to know what the gospel means, know what it is in your life, and have received it first and foremost in your life to be able to share that with someone else. And no one can argue with your testimony, right? What God's done in your heart and your life. So share that. And again, that's not my message, but it's good stuff. So I'm convicted. I've been at my church for 14 years this July, and we've got an amazing church, awesome church, great families. But I've seen so many people profess Christ, and that's it. And a year, we text, we call, we visit, we contact, and then 2 years, 3 years, and you can't hardly, the FBI can't find them, right? And it's frustrating me because we are overwhelmingly inundated with unspiritual or carnal, fleshly Christians. We're going to talk about that tonight. I believe there's three types of people in this room. Wait a minute, I thought there was only saved and not saved, or going to hell and going to heaven. Well, there is, but there's three types of people living and breathing in this room. We're going to talk about those three people. You taking notes? You got this? I'm going to read a passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14, and we'll read through 3:3, but we're going to go back and visit those verses for each one of these, okay? So here we go. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. And by the way, when I read these, think about, listen for the three types of people, okay? Now, the natural person, there's one, right? The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready yet, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? Paul's pretty much laying it out there, isn't he? And there's three types of people in this room, and we're going to talk about all three of those. So by tonight's service being over, I want you to say, I'm either in this chair, or this chair. So first of all, I want to introduce to you the natural person. Everybody say natural. Should I put it on the stage or down here?
Stage?
Let's do the stage, yeah. Let's do the stage. The natural person. Now, we read a little bit about the natural person, but let's digest this a little bit. Verse 14 calls them natural person. It says the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, the natural person is spiritually dead. Everybody say dead. They are dead. They are bound for hell, separated from God if they die in that state. If they die being a natural person, they die and go to hell. Now, this verse tells us this natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Well, because they're lost. And lost people act lost, talk lost, are lost, right? Because they don't know the Lord yet. they don't understand the things of God. They're foolishness to them. You ever talk to somebody about going to church and they're like, why do you go to church? Man, what do you do up there? And I've talked to adults before, and they're like, how do people give money to church? And because they've had all these instances on TV where they hear about the people wasting money and preachers sleeping around and stuff like that. And they're like, you give money to church? Why would you do that, right? It's folly to them. They don't understand it because they're natural. Everybody say natural. A natural person. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. Jesus died on a cross. What does that have anything to do with someone, you know, their eternal life or what happens when they die? When you die, you're dead. They put you in the ground. Those are things the natural person believes and lives out. They don't understand. It's folly. It's weird to them. And until last night, Grace kind of had understanding, but she was fallen. She, She was dead in her sins, a natural person. They are completely locked up in the chains of death and sin and hell, right? That sounds good. Y'all ready? That just sounds cool. That's where they are in their state with the Lord, okay? This person is not a child of God. They live independently of God. They're not able to understand the things of God because they just don't get it. Their actions, reactions, their habits, lifestyles, are controlled by their own desires and own flesh. Now, those of us who are born again, this is who we were, like Grace was last night, before we got saved. You understand? Living a life how we want to live it. Doing what we want to do. Doing what pleased our flesh. Okay? That's our old self. It's kind of like those in that chair, the natural person, they don't understand that if they die in this state, they go to a place like hell, called hell. And it's confusing to them. It's weird to them. They can't get it yet until the Holy Spirit draws them. But listen to this. It's kind of like a three-year-old. He's playing a ball at his house, and his sister throws it to him, and he goes to catch it, but it goes through his hands like it did him, like Micah. Love you, man. And rolls past him and into a four-lane highway. What's a three-year-old do? Runs after the ball because he don't understand that if he gets in that road and a car coming 60 miles an hour down the road makes contact with him, he's gone. He don't understand that that's reality, that the physics of a car coming at him could take him away. Lost people are in that. They don't understand that. And until the Holy Spirit draws them, until the Holy Spirit convicts them of their sin and it reveals them their lostness, that's where they remain, the natural person. Now listen to what Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says. I'm going to read the first three verses, and if you're a born-again Christian, this is defining you before you were saved, okay? Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says it's about the natural person. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Before Jesus, the natural person. Hey, if it feels good, what? Say it louder. Do it. That's what the world says. The natural person, man, if it feels good. Whatever you want to do, do it, man. Why not? Why do you think every one of our movies depict drinking and partying and sleeping around like it's no big deal? You can't hardly watch any show without them just complete the debauchery and fornicating with anybody they want to, waking up in a bed with somebody and sneaking out, hurting them. Oh, my goodness, before she wakes up or he wakes up, right? That's the world. Natural person. But let me tell you what happens in verse 4 of that same passage, Ephesians 2, 4. Because you were there, right? Right? But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Woo, that's good news. But God, being rich in mercy, do we deserve to be saved? No. Do we deserve hell? Yes. But God, being rich in mercy, love this mercy, this grace, this love that he gives us, that while we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. Good stuff. Which brings me to number two. Chair number two is the spiritual person. Everybody say spiritual person. Okay? Spiritual person. Now, this is the spiritual person. This is what the Bible says in verse 15 and 16. Let's read that again. 1 Corinthians 2, 15, 16 says, the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This person has the mind of Christ. This person has a walk that's authentic. This person loves Jesus. This person understands the things of God. He don't have to worry about being judged by the world or by other Christians because he's doing and living and talking and breathing and acting and according to Jesus. This spiritual person has been transformed by the grace of God, born again, forgiven, redeemed, freed. Ever say freed? From the shackles of sin and shame and prison and death and hell. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself judged by no one because he's walking in the Spirit. This spiritual person is a child of God that lives completely dependent on God. A child of God that lives completely dependent on God. I can't do it today, God. I'm not able to go to school. I can't face those teammates another day in the locker room. I can't, but you can. I'm dependent on you, God. Give me the words to say. Give me the boldness to stand up when those guys are passing around pornography on their phone. Let me stand up and say, no, put that away from me. I don't want to see that, dude. Give me boldness to stand up for what's right because I'm a spiritual person. I want to walk in you. I want to walk in the Spirit. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The natural is gone. The new has come. By the way, memorize that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Hide it in your heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Good stuff. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old's gone, the new has come. The old's passed away. All right. The Bible also tells us in Ephesians 2:10, this spiritual person is living in the Spirit, and they're living every day of their lives for the work of the kingdom of God. Listen to this. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. To do the work of the kingdom of God, to share their faith, to serve others, to love others, to be an example of what it's like to walk in the Spirit. This is the spiritual person. This child of God, he understands that they are truly free. Say it with me. Truly free. Say it louder. Truly free. Spiritual person. This person takes everything in their life to the throne of God. Tests, relationships, struggles on the baseball diamond, their classmates, their parents, their what they're listening to on their phones, the movies they watch, the things they put, they take it all to Him and say, God, what should I do? How should I interact? How should I exemplify You in this situation? They're a spiritual person. They're living out and showing the fruit of the Spirit. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? It's a gift, right? Love, joy. These are things that this person, love, joy, peace, patience, I hear it, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are things that the spiritual person is exuding and popping out left and right. Love, joy, peace, patience. Because they're a spiritual person. Now, yes, I licked my finger, and I can do that because no one else will touch this. All right. You might be thinking, well, Brother Matt, you're talking that, and I know I'm a Christian. I don't look anything like that guy. Whew. Ain't no way I can attain to that. How can I live up to that standard? That's like, there ain't no way. I try, but how can you do that? Guess what? You can't. But Christ in you can. You're truly free to let go of what the world says you're supposed to be like and act like and talk like and say, I'm not trying to fit that mold. I'm trying to fit the mold of Jesus. I can know He can indwell me and fill me and lead me and guide me and direct me. And right? That's who we are as a spiritual person. God doesn't expect perfection, right? These aren't sinless people. They sin less. Remember that. So we got the natural person. Say it. Natural person. Say it. Natural person. Then we have the spiritual person. Say it. Spiritual person. And then we have this last one. That's a long walk over here. This is, now I kind of want to call it the fleshly person, but that's kind of weird to say, but we can still call it that. I'm weird about symmetry. Is that we good? Can I scoot up a little bit? This way? That way? How far? I can't get his microphone. How about that? That's good enough. All right. This is the carnal person, the fleshly person, the people of flesh, what the actual words that are used there. People of flesh. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 3:1-3 again. And listen, he says, this is Paul talking, but I, brothers, so we know they're Christians, right? He identifies them as Christians. He says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people. Can't do that. But as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, meaning you're supposed to be a mature Christian, even now, you're not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? Why? Paul's like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be living like a spiritual person. You're living like a natural person. You're living in the flesh. I went and saw this. I wish I want to apologize. I wanted to have this on the screen too, but I didn't. So I'm going to try my best to show y'all my little video here. Okay. I'm going to put it on the microphone. Y'all go, wait a minute. Shh, stop, stop, stop. This is what I went and did today.
Look at that little
Oh, baby, Clay, you're back here somewhere, aren't you? Where's Clay? Oh, man. Maverick is gorgeous, man. I'm not like that, but I mean, he's gorgeous. He's straight up beautiful baby. I went and saw him today. He's beautiful. 3 days old, right? Wednesday. Today's Saturday. 4 days. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 4 days. Thursday. Yeah, Thursday morning. That's right, 1:30 in the morning. Beautiful baby. Now, what if I went over today and I brought up some big ribeye and a baked tater and some side salad ranch on in there and a big old thing of sweet tea. He said, Clay, I brought your baby some food. Right? I mean, he was... No teeth, right? He tried to open his eye at me one time. But he couldn't eat a steak and potato, right? He's a baby. He's drinking milk for how long? I mean, I forgot. It's been 13 years. Long time. Several weeks and months. He drinks milk and eventually gets baby food. And then he starts this big... Guys, I feel like too many of us that are supposed to be eating steak and taters and stuff like that spiritually are still drinking milk. We're still... I'm a Christian when it's convenient. If I'm around a certain crowd, you know, I might act like this when I'm a D now or whatever. I'll try, you know, but I'm over here. This person of the flesh, Revelation says in 3:16, you're lukewarm. I'd rather spit you out of my mouth, right? God's like, I don't want any lukewarm Christians. I'd rather be hot or cold. You know, I love my kids. Y'all know I love my kids? I love my kids. They're awesome. Micah, Mason, and Molly. My wife's Misty. So, yeah, Matt, Misty, Micah, Mason, Molly. It's dumb. I said that to some girls. But don't ever do that. Don't ever name your kids all the same. My brother's name is Mike. He married Marla. He has Miles and Macy. So Matt, Misty, Micah, Mason, Molly. Mike, Marla, Miles, and Macy. My brother Mark, seriously, this is legit, married Sharon and messed it all up. So anyway, I mean, just a loser. If you're watching this, Mark, you're a loser. Just kidding, I love you. But no, I love my kids, but not one time when they're a baby did I ever have to teach them how to fuss with another kid in the church nursery and fight over a toy. My toy, right? Never once to have to teach my little daughter when she wanted ice cream, but I said, you got to eat your veggies first. Did I have to, you don't teach him how to throw tantrums, right? You don't teach kids how to be mean and jealous and my toy and my this and wow, don't get my way. You don't teach that to kids. Why? Because it's a natural thing for them to act that way. You with me? It's Jesus who enables them to walk in the Spirit. And I say babies, but as a person, as a human, as we grow, as we listen to the Word of God, we listen to preachers and teachers, we study the Word of God, we memorize the Word of God, we pray, we seek His face, and we start maturing and developing. We go, some people go straight from there to here and never even go in that chair. You with me? But most people, because of the lack of abiding in the Word of God and the lack of this right here this weekend, being discipled in a body of Christ, a church of God, they go straight from there and they go right over here, and this is where they sit for the majority of their life. Sit here, soak and sour. You'd never know they're a Christian. And only God knows if they are, because they never sow fruit of the Spirit. They never prove and never serve. They never give. They never love. They never, right? And our churches are full of them, not just these three churches. My church back at home. Churches all over the place. That's why we're not making the impact we could be making in our communities. Do you understand what I'm saying? What could happen if you, how many in here, I don't know how many, if all y'all in here decided tonight, I'm right here. I don't give two flips what the world says. I'm walking the Spirit. I'm leaving this weekend a changed person. I'm leaving this weekend. I'm walking the Spirit. I'm going to keep my friends accountable. I'm going to the locker room the next time we get in there. I'm going in the classroom Monday morning, and I'm letting people know, not to be a holy roller thumping people in the head of the Bible, but to walk in the Spirit and say, I'm gonna prove my love for Jesus. And that way the world can see that it ain't about me, but it's about Jesus. And when you walk with God and you're a spiritually led person, things change. Churches change. Student ministries change. Ball teams change. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at? Not me, but the Jesus in me can change the world. Don't be a person of the flesh. See, these people, these fleshly people live as if they're dead in sin instead of living dead to sin. Oh, I'm still looking like I'm acting like I'm over there, but I'm really alive in Christ. I really, instead of living to righteousness, they live to sin. They're a slave to sin. They're a slave to what? No. They forget that they've been loosed from their chains. I can't say this enough, that I'm old. Why do you think I love teenagers? Y'all, if I said this already, I think I did last night, but I love y'all because you're full of energy. You have excitement. Y'all, I wish I could have done a tenth of what y'all did today at that jump around place, right? I can't do it anymore. But I love being around y'all because you're so full of energy. You're sponges when it comes to learning new things. But when God gets a hold of a teenager, Chris, Jason, Clay, you with me? Nathan, you fellas, you know, when a teenager gets on fire for Jesus, man, ain't nothing holding them back. That's why I love seeing God get a hold of teenagers at a young age and seeing them get on fire for the Lord and watch God blow their face off. See, this person over here that I think many of us, if we were honest with the Lord tonight, would have to come up here and crawl up in the seat. I mean, crawl up in here and say, God, honestly, Lord, I'm there. Because my life doesn't reflect that I'm free, truly free. My life reflects a bunch of anxiety and stress and bondage and shackles and I'm just all tied up in these things. And this is what I look like in my everyday life. I'm caught up in these things, these sins that I've been freed of. You know, it's kind of like a guy that's been given, this is fictitious, obviously, but it's like a guy being given a $10 million home. But he chooses to live in a cardboard box down by the river, right? And I can see Clay doing that. And eating out of dumpsters when he's got a $10 million home with servants, with food, and seven-course meals, if that's even possible. Can you have a seven-course meal, five-course, whatever? Lots of food, and that's there. But he chooses to dig out of dumpsters and to live in a cardboard box and be rained on and freeze at night when he's got the mansion and the joy of walking. Now, am I saying if you walk in the Spirit, you will have a mansion and all kind of food? No, it ain't about materialistic stuff. But that's the how crazy it is for us to, as Christians, to live as a fleshly person. Galatians 5:16. Jot that down. You know, this is the contrast here. I want you to listen. He says, but I say, he's challenging them to walk by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for they are opposing one another, each other, to keep you from doing what you want to do. And again, I want to remind you, walking in the Spirit and walking as a spiritual person is not about a list of do's and don'ts. Who wants a list of do's and don'ts, right? But when I was a kid your age, I thought church was all about, you sit down, you shut up, you listen, you don't do that. You don't have premarital sex, you don't do drugs, and don't you ever even think about having any fun. You're a Christian, right? That's a polar opposite. You're recording this, but guess what? You can't have sex, Christians, but in marriage. And you can enjoy life, and you can enjoy the things of that God's given you. They're so much better than what the world throws at you. The world tries to tell you it's more enjoyable to live in that sin, to live in that bondage, live in that stress, live in that anxiety, when you can be free, truly free. Why not? Why not live as a spiritual? Why not live so the world can see that you are in love with Jesus? Why not? What's holding you back? Why are you scared to be made fun of, boys? Are you scared that you might be... I mean, I'm too cool, man. I can't let people know I love Jesus. Girls, are you scared you'll be judged or you'll be ridiculed? Why not? There's no reason. Walk in the Spirit. Be a spiritual person. Walk in being truly free. I love this passage. I want to read to you 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. Listen to what we enjoy as children of God. His divine power. Everybody say power. Divine power. Oh, God can't do anything through me. I'm just a teenager. No, the divine power that he has given us. It talks about it raised Jesus from the dead. How much more are we doing us? Anyway, but the divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Listen, verse 4. By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of the sinful desire. Natural person, say it with me. Natural person. Say it with me. Spiritual person. Say it with me here. Fleshly person. You know, this person is locked up in those chains and they're in prison, okay? They're bound for hell. And our job as Christians is to make sure that people don't die in this state, to tell them about Jesus. This person is in, has been freed of all the chains, and the prison door has been opened, but he's walking out of the prison and living his life for the Spirit of God. This person has been freed of the chains, has been, the doors of the prison have been opened, but he's choosing with his daily life to sit here in the prison and just, oh. Doors are open. The chains are gone, but they're sitting in prison going, oh, I don't know if I can live like that. I don't know if I can serve God. I don't know if I can. Why? But we do. Many, many, many of our students and our church people live like that. I want to end with this example. Anybody been to circus? Anybody? Circus? Long time ago, Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, whatever. Went to when I was a kid, and I loved the elephants. They're just amazing creatures, right? I mean, have you ever ridden an elephant? I've ridden one, actually. Anybody ever? Okay. I'm weird. I know. You have. High five. Big creatures. But you know when they're babies in the circus, elephants, what they do is they chain them to or tie them to little small trees or little posts or sometimes even stakes in the ground. And when the elephant tries to get away, they pull and they can't get out. They can't get away from that stake or that chain or that tree or whatever. And they're pulling because they're not strong enough. But as they quadruple in size and in weight, they're way strong enough to pull that stake out of the ground and to walk and pull that chain and break that chain or knock that tree down because they're huge, massive animals. But because they were trained as a baby elephant, you're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not. They stay in that state of being locked down, chained to that tree, chained down to that stake or that pole, instead of walking away in freedom, just saying, you know what, circus person, I'm gonna do what I want to do, and I'm gonna. That's what we're trying to get you to do, guys. We want you to live a life that's truly free. Everybody say it, truly free, not being bound down by the chains of the enemy. You know, this weekend I pray. I said, God, I want to give them what you want me to give them. I don't want to say anything I can say. I ain't got nothing to give them, Lord. You got a plan for them. And I just was overwhelmed with what I've seen in the 20-something years I've been doing student ministry, of students getting saved, Grace, at DNOW. I keep pointing at you, baby. I'm sorry, but I'm so proud of you. Giving their life to Jesus at a Disciple Now or at a beach camp or a mission trip, whatever, and then never falling in love with Jesus and never falling in love with his word and never living out their faith, and they just get stuck in that seat for the majority of their life. That's not where God intends you to be, students. God does not intend for you to walk your life out in bondage. The door has been swung open if you trust in Christ. Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Will you close your eyes and bow your heads with me? I want you to decide tonight, right now, as we're putting our Bibles away and closing our eyes, I want you to decide right now, which one of these three chairs would you have to, honestly, if God says, go right now and go sit in one of those chairs, which one would you have to go sit in? The natural chair, where you know you're lost, you're going to hell. The spiritual chair, where you know you're born again. You're not perfect. You make a lot of mistakes, but you know you're saved and you're really striving for the things of God. Or would you have to say, Brother Matt, just being straight up with you, I know I'm sitting up here in this chair, that fleshly chair. There's no evidence of my faith. I'm not proving to the world that I belong to Jesus. I'm still in that prison. Even though I've given my life to Jesus, I'm still, the chains are down, the handcuffs are off, the prison door has been swung up, but I'm locked down. I can't let go of my anxiety. I can't give those over to Jesus. I can't. Tonight, be free. Tonight, give it over to Jesus. Lay down your burdens. Lay down your sin. Lay down your issues. Lay down your struggles. Lay down your anxieties. Lay down your stresses. Lay down your depression. Lay down your whatever. Fill in the blank and say, tonight, I'm walking the Spirit. I'm gonna hop up in that chair and be a spiritual person. Keep your heads down. Keep your eyes closed. But I want you right now, maybe you need to do it right now. We got adults in the back, leaders in the back. If you know or even unsure that you're a Christian, will you please go back there right now and go grab a leader and say, come talk to me. I just want to make sure. Awesome, thank you. Keep your heads down. Anybody else? Keep going. I want to make sure. Because you know, we talk about Jesus, we talk about freedom, we talk about joy, we talk about love, and I don't have those because I'm not a born-again Christian. I'm still in that first chair, that natural chair, and I'm lost. Will you go back there and talk to somebody and say, tell me how to be saved. Tell me what I need to do to be born again. Anybody else? Awesome. Can you take a friend with you? Do it. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Nail it down, guys. Don't be unsure. Now, maybe tonight you just need to come up here and, I don't know, this is nothing spiritual about these stairs, but maybe you just need to come and bow and just stare at this chair with some chains on it and say, you know what, Brother Matt? I've got to be honest with you. I'm there. I'm in that carnal chair. I'm in that fleshly chair. I'm in that chair that's still bound up in chains. I'm not bound up. I've been freed in Christ, but I'm still living like I've been bound up. I'm still living in handcuffs. I'm still living and sitting down that chain in that prison cell every day of my life. Will you come up here and be bold and say, I'm ready to make a change and bow here at the foot of the cross, stare at this chair and say, God, tonight I'm leaving here free. Tonight I'm leaving here as a spiritual person. I want to be living in freedom. I want to be the person that people come to say, hey, tell me about Jesus. We're going to sing a song. And if you feel led to come up here and pray at the altar, do so. If you feel led to go in the back to pray with an adult, do so. But whatever God's stirring in your heart, please don't wait. Please don't say no. Say yes. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm yours. Father, again, we come to you begging you to move, begging you to change lives. Already there's some that have gone to the back and they're right now, they're maybe praying a prayer of salvation. God, I pray they are. I pray that they're giving their life to Jesus like Grace did last night, and we're going to see life change tonight, transformation. But God, I also pray that you'll give boldness to these students that know without a shadow of doubt they've been born again, but they're not living it. Give them boldness. Give them courage to lay down those things, lay down those chains, and walk out of that prison free. Take over, God. We love you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
I never wanna leave. So I'll sit with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll sit my soul to surrender all I am. It's yours, I say. So I'll sit with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave me all. So I'll set my soul to surrender all I am. It's yours, I say. So I'll set with arms high. The chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living Lord. And to come after so great a mercy, what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross, the cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living God. You know it. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Praise the Lord. Declare the grave has no claim
those chains, are you, students? Did y'all feel good up here just praising and talking to the Lord and hugging each other and celebrating what God's doing in your life? Right? Isn't that good? Truly free. Walk out of here tonight. We're not done yet. But walk out of here tonight free. You let them chains go, right? And keep each other accountable. Pray for each other. Call each other. Text each other. Say, hey, man, when's the last time you were blah, blah, blah? Let go of that sin. Fill in the blank. Whatever it is. And be accountable to each other. Walk in the Spirit. Man, let's just get rid of these two chairs right here. We're going to burn them tonight, right? No, but we're going to put them over here in that one chair. We're all going to leave here spiritual people. Amen? Amen? Let's rock out, baby.
Come on, he's worthy, amen, come on. How about Matt Beerhouse? Yeah? How about your small group leaders? Let's go. All right, how about Jesus? He is the reason we're here. That's right. Jesus is the reason we're here. He's the reason we celebrate. And tonight, there should be a lot of celebration going on, okay? For those of you who don't know me, I'm Clay Tankersley. I'm the student minister at Crossroads. Hey, guys. Thank you. My wife, I didn't have the baby. My wife had the baby. It'd be really weird if I had the baby. My wife had a baby Thursday morning, 1:35 a.m. And so we have been celebrating that all week. I'm not going to drag it out. And so many of you in my student ministry and also in our church have texted me and said, hey, congratulations. We're excited for you. Well, guess what? Tonight there are babes in Christ who have been born again. And so just as we celebrate, that's right, just as we celebrate the birth of an earthly life, Scripture says we should celebrate the birth of a spiritual life. And so if you gave your life to the Lord tonight, I want to encourage you to share that because people want to celebrate with you. Okay, God did not call you out of darkness, like Matt says, so that you could stay there. He called you out of darkness so that you could live in light. And so the people around you want to celebrate that with you. So share it with your youth pastors. Share it with your small group leader. Share it with everybody that you get a chance to share. Tell people what God did, because the more you sit on it, the more comfortable you get sitting on it. Okay? And so the more you tell people, the more excited you are to tell people about it. All right? So I'm going to turn it over to Jason. He's got a couple of announcements. Oh, I got to pray first. Okay. Sign language for pray. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy, God. We thank you, God, that you bankrupted heaven, Lord, to save sinners like us. Lord, that you brought salvation to all. Lord, not just some, Lord, but you offer it to each and every single person who will respond to that invitation. Lord, I thank you for the new life that's found in Christ tonight. God, I pray that this would be the beginning of a beautiful journey. God, that these students and even adults, God, these lives that are changed, Lord, that they would learn what it means to walk with you. God, I pray that they would find accountability partners. I pray that they would find people who would walk through Scripture with them, who would walk through the gospel with them each and every single day. God, that you didn't call us to live life alone, but Lord, you called us to live a life of community. And so, Lord, I pray that that would be the beginning of something beautiful. Lord, I pray that in 2 weeks, Lord, after D Now has come and gone and things have settled back down, Lord, that it wasn't just a phase, it wasn't just a flash of emotion, but God, it was the beginning of a fire that you lit in our soul, God, that we allow you to continue to fan into flame every single day. So, God, thank you for this weekend. Thank you for what you're going to continue to do, God, tonight in small group, Lord, and tomorrow as we worship with our church families tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, Smoke Row students, if you'll stay in your seats, I got one announcement just for you. Everybody else, get out of here. Get out.